Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you, Patrick Conley, with you on this great and wonderful celebration of the centennial of the appearances of Our Lady at Fatima, Portugal. We are celebratory today because of the way that Our Lady continues to reveal herself and our relationship with the Lord to us, to lead us and guide us and take us under her motherly care. And it's wonderful to be specifically celebrating that throughout this weekend, whether you're listening live today on Friday or whether you're listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday or Sunday. Especially as we have a very Marian theme running through the show today, as we're talking about service to the poor and outreach to those beyond our own borders, and reaching out in a very humble way to those who maybe live in humble circumstances. And what better example of true humility than Our Lady herself and our Lord Himself, the Holy Family, as we seek to imitate and remember that, especially on this day when we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima, and enter into her humility. So on the program today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Mary's Meals, a program that we'll hear a lot about from Deborah and Wayne Waldera, who are involved with that, and they're going to explain to us what that is all about, and they're going to help us to learn more about how we can be involved as well. Then a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be speaking with Father Neil Baker and Allison James from Our Lady of Grace. So there's another Marian reference for us there in Edina and some of the outreach that they specifically are involved with, specifically in Ghana, Africa, and reaching out again beyond our own borders to those who perhaps live in more humble circumstances. And I always want to remember that as we are reaching out to those in more humble circumstances, that the humble have a lot to teach us, that I think is specifically when we have many, many resources here in the U.S. available to us, and we need to always be mindful of how we're using those resources. Our Lord Himself said that any of us who have two tunics should give the one away. And it's been said that if we have two shirts, then the second one belongs to the poor. And as we continue to, again, remember and imitate Our Lady's humility, I think it's important for us to imitate it in the usage of our material resources, in the usage of our time, and of course, in our prayers. So as we begin the show today, as always, let's pause and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of Our Lady, specifically Our Lady of Fatima this morning, as together we pray, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to come back right after this with Deborah and Wayne Waldera talking a little bit more about Mary's Meals, wonderful outreach ministry. Stay with us.
Did you know that 134 undergraduate men are currently discerning a vocation to the priesthood at St. John Vianney College Seminary? Hello, this is Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary, otherwise known as SJV. SJV is located on the beautiful campus of the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. We pursue our mission through the first-class academic resources of the university, a systematic formation in Christian character, and a traditional Catholic program of spiritual growth. With men representing 20 different dioceses, SJV is the largest college seminary in the United States. More than 430 of our alumni are serving as ordained priests today, building up the Catholic Church throughout the country and the world. We are Catholic and proud of it.
Visit Vianney.net. That's Vianney.net to learn more about St. John Vianney College Seminary and to see how these men are striving to be men in Christ, men of the Church, and men for others.
Just want you to know it. I've
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio, where we are talking today about outreach to the poor, outreach to those who are in more humble circumstances, after the humility, imitating the humility of Our Lady. And joining me now in the studio are Deborah and Wayne Waldera, who are, I know you're parishioners at the cathedral because I see you there regularly, yes. And you serve in many, many ways there. But welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thanks Patrick.
Thanks, yeah. Patrick. Yeah. I'm so excited to be here this morning.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting. So, start telling us, Deb, what's Mary's Meals all about?
Well, Mary's Meals is a simple solution to world hunger. It's an international organization that feeds hungry children one nutritious meal a day in their place of education. That's kind of unique. And all hungry children, those with faith and those with none, are fed by Mary's Meals. And the founder is a Scotsman, Magnus McFarlane Barrow.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good Scottish name.
He's a passionate Catholic, and Mary's Meals was named after Mary, the mother of Jesus, who brought up her own child in poverty. So in 2002, the vision of Mary's Meals was born. And Magnus McFarlane Barrow, CEO and founder of Mary's Meals, he was in Malawi, Africa at the time with the Scottish Relief Organization, bringing aid there. And he spoke with a mother. Her name was Emma. She was dying of AIDS, and she had three children. And he spoke to her oldest son, Edward, and he asked him what his dreams for life were. And he said to have enough food to eat and to be able to go to school one day. Wow. And that was stuck with Magnus, and that became the vision of Mary's Meals. So then in 2002, they fed their first 200 children in Malawi. And now the Mary's Meals sets up feeding projects in some of the world's poorest communities in 14 developing countries around the world. And they serve 1.2 million children a nutritious meal in their place of education every day. And they just celebrated serving their billionth meal in India the other day. So that is a big celebration for them.
Wow, I guess so.
That's a lot of children. What's kind of unique about it is that it only costs $19.50 to feed a child for an entire school year. And then from every dollar, at least 93 cents is spent on charitable activities. That's just absolutely amazing. Well, how can they do this? And they've got a very unique model. And they buy food from the local farmers whenever possible. And that kind of helps avoid the shipping costs, but also it stimulates the local economy. And then also Mary's Meals is just a grassroots global movement, and it's served mainly by volunteers. There's very people that actually work for Mary's Meals. And in doing so, that involves the community, and also it cuts the cost down because all this work, the cooks and the others are providing volunteer service. Just as an aside note, currently in Malawi, Africa, there are over 900,000 children being fed by over 20,000 farmers and 65,000 cooks, building that community as they feed their children. And monitoring of the food is really important. You sometimes wonder, does your dollars really get to where it needs to go? Is that food protected? And yes, Mary's Meals does monitor. They do surprise visits to the school 2 times a week just to make sure that the children are receiving that food that they've been promised. And so, Wayne, maybe you can just talk a little bit as to how we got involved with Mary's Meals.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so Patrick, Deb, and I had one of these must-go-to events that we put on the calendar, and this happened back in September of 2014, the Christ Our Life Conference in Des Moines, Iowa. Mm. And His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan was the keynote speaker, and he spoke about the soul of St. John Paul II, the mind of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and the heart of our Holy Father Pope Francis. And then Father Larry Richards had two wonderful talks on the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So mission accomplished. That's what we thought we were going to go and see.
Right.
And then we were coming back during an intermission to our seats, and there was a documentary on the big screen called Child 31. And that's when our heart and our mind and our soul was touched by Mary's Meals. Mm. And it spoke. On the way home then Sunday, we kept thinking how it spoke about the corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry. And as a Knight of Columbus, one of our four core principles is charity. And so we got home, and as a Catechetical Institute graduate, I had to get my catechism out, you know?
Absolutely.
And this is what St. John Chrysostom vigorously taught. Mm. Not to enable the poor to share in our goods is to steal from them and deprive them of life. The goods we possess are not ours, but theirs. The demands of justice must be satisfied first of all. That which is already due in justice is not to be offered as a gift of charity. And St. Gregory the Great said, when we attend to the needs of those in want, we give them what is theirs, not ours. More than performing works of mercy, we are paying a debt of justice. And so as we drove home that Sunday, Deb and I were thinking, you know, what do we do or what can we do? And we were counting the days on our calendar to Deb's retirement from being a school nurse at Coma Park Elementary. And we wanted to have a beautiful retirement party for her. So our theme was for Mary's Meals.
Yeah, it was wonderful as we drove home. What can I do? What do I do? This retirement was coming up, and so that actually did happen. I just wanted to just say I personally was really touched by Child 31, and Magnus had a question and answer session after that film was done. And this is what he said. He or someone had asked an orphan, who takes care of you? And the little boy answered, God does. And they asked, well, how does he take care of you? And he says, he gives me everything I need. And that just, it just struck a chord in me, because as we know, we're Jesus' hands and feet. And I thought, how can I do that? How can I do that? And so we thought we'd do the retirement party, and that did happen. We were offered a sponsorship of a small school in Malawi, Africa, 176 students. Wayne and our friends in Minnesota, USA, Christ Our Light Kitchen, have been feeding these children for the past 3 years. We have 164 students we're feeding this school year, one meal a day. And so that was a real blessing. And then also something kind of on the side, I sew little flannel baby blankets. And I do that for the family. And I thought, well, that's what I do. And God said, well, then sew for me. And so I did. And I learned how to fold them and put a little golden book in there. And we call them bundles of blessings. And we use them as an incentive. So anyone that donates $25 to Mary's Meals, they can pick a bundle of their choice. And these blankets have gone to life care centers. There are a couple in Malawi. Matthew Kelly's youngest son has one. They're all over the place. But anyway, it's really been a real blessing. And then another thing that we wanted to share is it's really affected our family. Wayne, can you share that memory?
So at Deb's graduation party, we showed Child 31. And at the time, our grandson James was 6, and his brother Jonathan was only 3. And so we're having lunch, and James says to his mom, how many kids can we save? It wasn't how many can we help, how many can we save?
Yeah.
And so his mother said, well, out of your saved allowance, you can give $40 to Mary's Meals. And James looks at his little brother and says, Jonathan, you have to help too. And Jonathan says, I do it.
As a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I do it.
So each of them sent $40 to Mary's Meals.
Oh, my goodness.
And they got a card in the mail, Patrick, with 4 children on it, their thank you card. So like a Christmas card, they taped it to the fridge. And so James took his brother to the card and says, Jonathan, you saved those 2. I saved these 2.
Mm-hmm.
And just a beautiful story, and how it affects young and old when we look at serving and feeding the poor.
One of the things that I love about it is that it does just what you're saying, is it transforms us, as I think all of our giving should. And it also brings us into a closer union with those who are perhaps half a world away.
Yeah.
How many, Deb, you said this, but how many countries again?
14 developing countries.
14.
Across four continents.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And like I say, they started in Malawi. They're going to go into Ethiopia, hopefully in September. Well, September has passed, but now into October. Magnus had sent out a little newsletter, and it was really amazing. If you can envision this, at the school he was at, it was a lunch break. And so they were not, but there was no food being fed. There was no energy for the kids to play, so it was silent. The kids were kind of sitting in the entryway, smiling at them, but there was no energy there. And as you know, if you work in a school like I did, I'm a retired school nurse, oh my goodness, the noise is deafening here. So we want to see that, and that's what he said. When I come back, you know, I want to hear the noise of energetic, healthy kids playing at lunchtime after they've had something to eat.
Yeah, well, obviously people are, I'm guessing, our listeners are already saying, how can I get involved? I want to save two children or four children or 40 children.
Yeah.
So I know that there is an event coming up. Can you give us the details on that, Wayne?
Sure. So a week from tomorrow night, Patrick, our local Knights of Columbus Council at the Cathedral, we're holding our second annual lasagna dinner fundraiser at 6:30 p.m. Catered in by Russo Brothers Italian Restaurant. Mm. So we're putting a shout out to our friends there. Our keynote speaker is going to be Ellen Miller, and she's from Des Moines, Iowa. She's a volunteer coordinator for Mary's Meals, our mentor, and her talk is going to be on how easy it is to do something.
Mm.
How easy it is to do something. And we're going to have door prizes and a silent auction, $15 per adult for dinner, $10 for children 12 and under. And a couple of ways, we've got limited space at the cathedral, so we're encouraging people to purchase their meals in advance. Two ways of doing that is you can visit our Knights of Columbus website at the cathedral, and that's www.kofc14752cathedral.org, or please call Deb and I at home, 651-772-6935. And again, the website is www.kofc14752cathedral.org.
And that dinner is Saturday, October 21st.
Week from tomorrow night, okay. Saturday, October 21st. And also the website for Mary's Meals is www.marysmealsusa.org. And also, Patrick, if all of our faithful listeners would like to hear more about Mary's Meals, Deb and I would love to come to your parish and share the story. And I also, too, what's really important going on right now, Patrick, is there's called a double the love situation with Mary's Meals. Mm-hmm. Anonymous donor, through the balance of this year, is going to match all the funds that are raised for Mary's Meals. So a week from tomorrow night, the money we raise will be doubled.
Wow.
And I want to leave with seven beautiful words that really touch me when we're serving, and that is, when we give is when we receive.
Absolutely. But 6:30 next Saturday, October 21st, following the 5:15 Mass, please come and join us. And if you can't, please go on the website, because everything you ever want to know about Mary's Meals is there, and you can be involved. And give us a call. We'd really love to hear from you.
And that's marysmealsusa.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Now, I know, too, that you brought in a special prayer that we'd all like to pray together here at the end of our time. Yeah?
We'd love to. And this prayer was written by Magnus McFarland Barrow, the founder of Mary's Meals. So please pray with us. And Patrick, will this be put on the website, on the Facebook page?
Yeah, we'll put this on the Rediscover Our Facebook page for those who are interested.
All right. Here we go. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us for the times when we take more than our share of the bread that belongs to all. Let us help you fill the starving with good things, not with scraps from our table. Teach us how to share what is not ours to keep. Clothe us with your love, that we may complete each good work you created us to do. Place in our hearts your compassion for each starving child, and use our little acts of love
so that they starve no more. Amen.
Amen. Wow. The organization is Mary's Meals. It's marysmealsusa.org. Deborah and Wayne, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thank you so much. We hope to see
us.
All there.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to take our next break, and when we come back, Father Neil Baker and Allison James from Our Lady of Grace in Edina to talk about another outreach ministry. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial, based right here in the Twin Cities, has been part of helping this Catholic community for nearly 140 years. I'm John Ginther of Catholic United Financial. Catholic United Financial provides members with quality life insurance and retirement saving options, while giving them opportunities to impact their Catholic parishes, schools, and community. Catholic United is not for profit. We transform profits into purpose. As a fraternal insurance company, Catholic United provides our members with excellent insurance and financial products, and we return our profits to our Catholic communities in the forms of grants, scholarships, and assistance. Let me help you personally with a life insurance or retirement product. You're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of our Catholic community. Give me a call, John Ginther at 612-644-0563. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Crystal Crocker in for Susanna Boley and as our producer, and Paul Sadek manning the board as our technical producer. I'm Patrick Conley. Grateful to be with you here on Relevant Radio, 1330 AM here in the Twin Cities. And joining me now in studio, Father Neil Baker and Allison James from the Parish of Our Lady of Grace in Edina to talk a little bit about a sister school that they've got going on. Welcome to the program to the both of you.
Good morning.
Hello, Patrick.
Yeah, great to see you. So, a sister school. Now, I have heard of a sister parish before, but I don't know how that translates into a sister school. What's a sister school?
Well, our sister school came about through our sister parish, actually. And so, when Our Lady of Grace merged with Most Holy Trinity Church in Edina, we formed a relationship with a parish in Ghana, Africa, which is St. Joseph's Parish. And through that, we found a need in Ghana for a high school. And there are many junior schools there, many middle schools and elementary schools, but there was no senior high school in Mampanteng, Ghana. And in the Kumasi area where we are. And so there was this need to educate children beyond the middle school. And so we decided, it wasn't me, it was people far more visionary and far more smart than I am, to build a high school. And to bring and raise the dignity of the people there. And to help show them how important they are.
Yeah, this is Ghana, Africa. So how did you end up there? I mean, not that that's obviously that's not a bad thing, but I'm just curious of the world is a mighty big place. So how did you end up there?
The invitation came to Father Bob through Daryl and Chris Eastberg, which they were already familiar with the area and part of the mission, and they asked Father Bob if he would consider having Our Lady of Grace involved and taking on this area in a sister parish, sister school relationship. And at that time, OLG Parish Council said, well, we'd support you, Father Bob, but you need to go over there and check it out and make sure that it is indeed something that we are going to support. So wow. Father Bob tells the story that he went over, he met the people, absolutely fell in love with them and the opportunity, and then brought back that enthusiasm for the mission to Our Lady of Grace Parish and School, and it's been carried on since.
Wow. And how long ago was that?
The school opened in 2013.
Okay.
And so there was a couple of years of construction before it opened. Mm-hmm. So I would say it was probably about 2010 or so.
Sure.
When he went over, 2009. when they first started forming the idea for a sister school. But even before that, there were other projects that they were working on within the basic schools and the elementary schools and things like that, smaller projects.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So how does this relationship with the sister parish and sister school, how does it intersect with the parish there in Edina? I mean, what comes up other than maybe hearing about it once a year or something like that? Where is it in terms of the parish life there?
Well, we just had a very exciting opportunity this past September where we had two of our students who are currently in school come over from our sister school and visit us and participate in our liturgy, participate in many things. They, the very first thing they did is went to the Mall of America.
Lord have mercy.
Actually, I take that back. The very first thing they did was went to the state fair.
Oh, that's better.
And then they went to the, they had to eat corn dogs and Sweet Martha's cookies and all those good things. And then they went to the Mall of America. But we got them into families and got to experience a number of things here locally. And then we had a wonderful speaker come over as well, Dr. Agnes Adu, who came over and told us all about the story of her life and the story of many lives over there. It's the case that many people don't go on beyond middle school. Don't go on beyond the sixth or seventh grade for education. Mm. And even just a generation ago, it wasn't common for women or girls to be educated at all, to not go to school at all. And in fact, Dr. Agnes's mother didn't go to school. Mm. And we told the story of this young man, Hubert, and his mother. And there's more information that can be found on a website, the riseandshinebreakfast.org, and we can talk more about that as well. But Hubert and his mother, Cecilia did not go to school, she was prevented from going to school, actually. And so this is just kind of something that is cultural and something that we're trying to change. And so in our school, actually, 57% of the kids in our school, of the 800 kids that are boarded and housed in our school there, are women, are girls. And that's an important thing that we see there. And that's something Dr. Agnes is very important, drives home.
Yeah.
So the story of Hubert that we told at the breakfast, his mother had lost her husband, Hubert's father. She had several children. She's illegitimate. And the only way she had in which to generate income to sustain her family was to sell porridge. And she would wake up in the middle of the night to start this porridge, sell it all day long, and at the end of the day would bring in just a little over $2 for the entire family. Mm. And desperately wanted to be able to send one of her children to school to receive a higher education. And then that became Hubert.
Wow.
So you had asked earlier the different ways in which our parish and school support Our Lady of Grace Senior High School in Ghana, Africa. One of the precious ways that you will notice is if you walk through the halls of OLG school, and both of my children go there, so I'm in there all the time, they will have photos of some of our sister students over in Ghana, Africa, and they pray for them daily, and they pray rosaries for them. So they are always top of mind and top of heart for us. Mm-hmm. One of the other ways is to support this mission monetarily. And one of the things that we did when the Ghanaians came over to visit in September, aside from taking them to the state fair and the Mall of America, which they absolutely loved, we also put them on a trampoline for the first time in their life, and they had a blast.
Wow. How about that? Yeah. Okay.
But we hosted a Rise and Shine breakfast, which was a fundraiser, and it was a fundraiser to build up the scholarship fund so that we could support those students going to school and getting an education, which would then in turn break cycles of poverty for their families.
Unbelievable. I mean, thanks be to God. Maybe that's a better thing to say. Wow. And I've seen some of the video footage of the video, I think, that was put together for the Rise and Shine breakfast. The school looks amazing. And it looks just like it's a center point of the community. And how many students are there again?
800 students.
800 students. This is a high school.
It's a high school.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, it is, and then 57%, you said, are women.
Yeah, and it's really become a center point of the community. It's really making all the boats to rise in that whole community. People feel proud of the school. It's really world class, first class. The facilities there, when you ask the kids, what do they like about going to school? They're still so in awe of the facilities that they say that that's the best thing.
Wow. And I can't imagine many school children here on this side of the ocean saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really providing, a wonderful place for the community to gather as well. So even as the community has events, they come to the school and have them at the school because those are the biggest places in the community for people to gather. Mm-hmm. But it's making everyone to work harder. The basic schools, the elementary schools, those kids know about Our Lady of Grace Senior High School, and they want to work hard to get into it. The kids in juniors high know about it, and they want to work hard.
Wow. So,
it's really great.
Again, thanks be to God for all of that. And did you say it's a boarding school as well?
Yeah. Yep. So the kids, many of them would have to walk miles and miles to actually get there. There are day students for those who live nearby, but many of them live there on campus. And that's done for a couple of reasons. One, because they would have to walk so far. But second, they may not have electricity at home. Mm-hmm. And so if they were to go home at the end of the day, they have no way to study. Mm-hmm. And so they can't do their homework. They have no lights or anything. And so it's actually better to have them in this enclosed environment. Mm-hmm. It's a formation beyond just education.
Right. So it's not only providing them with the education, but also everything that they need to succeed in that education as well. Wow, what a gift. And have either one of you been, or do you have any aspirations to go?
Yeah, I went in January of this year, and I'm going again in January of the coming year. So
I bet it's not minus 20 in Ghana in January.
It's summertime in January, So it was well over 100 degrees.
Well, maybe that's a little bit too extreme then. That's quite the jump. Wow. Yeah. And were you able to interact with a lot of the students, I assume, when you were there?
Yes.
Yep. And even though it is, well, it feels like summertime anyway, and there's not summer break or anything going on.
No, the kids are in school, and they work very hard. I remember on a Saturday, we came to do some filming of the campus and things, and the kids were all in their classrooms. Mm. And I said to the headmaster, are they just showing off for me, or,
exactly.
Or are they really studying? And he said, no. They're in there. They do have some formal time in the morning, but they all come back in the afternoon and they all study on their own. And they take that time because they want to work hard. They see this great opportunity and they want to work hard and take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Allison, I'm just wondering as a mother yourself, just if you can reflect a little bit on what this would mean for you if you were in a similar position with your own children and needing an education for them, but not knowing where it was going to come from. And then this comes along.
That's a great question. As a mother, I feel so blessed that we have Our Lady of Grace School in Edina right down the street from us and adjacent to such a wonderful parish. And I feel blessed that we're able to send our children there. And so as a mother, I can't imagine desperately wanting an education for your child and wanting a Catholic faith-infused education for your child and not being able to do it because your income for the day is a little over $2. So I know in our conversations with our parishioners and people within the community, I say, as you look to extend yourself and your resources to do really good things in the world, $1,000 will support a child to have an amazing education for 1 year over in Ghana. Mm. And that always gets people because we can all think about $1,000 and how right at hand that is for most of us. So for that to support one scholar for 1 year over in Africa, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's affecting transformation at a very profound level, I think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not even just for the child and the student themselves,
right.
but for their entire family.
Right.
Most of these children, their parents have not, and their grandparents haven't, they've never gone to school. They've never gone beyond sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So they take it very seriously, and they know they're very blessed by these gifts of education through the scholarships that we are affording them.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, is this a, would you classify Our Lady of Grace High School in Ghana, would you classify it as a so-called Catholic school?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they have regular religion classes and that sort of thing as well?
Yep, they have religion classes. They have Mass 4 days a week.
Wow.
Monday,
oh.
Wednesday,
yeah.
Friday, and Sunday.
Oh.
It's mandatory for all the students. They are the percentage of students there are not a majority of Catholics.
Okay.
But everyone is required to come to come to Mass.
Wow.
A majority of them are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly evangelical, mm-hmm. non-denominational, things like that. But they're all required to come to Mass every time, and they have religion class taught by. We have a new priest chaplain that's starting there.
Wow!
And so he'll be teaching all the classes. Father Paul taught the classes there before. So they get a great Catholic education there. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. And one that can, again, propel them as individuals into a college or a university, if that's where the Lord is leading, as
yeah.
well as providing this community-wide transformation as well.
Right.
All right, so it's sounding really good. And mm-hmm. just like with our previous guests about talking about Mary's Meals, I'm guessing some of our listeners say, I might want to find out more about this and how to be involved. Where can they go? What can they do?
I love the opportunity to quote Father Neil when he's sitting right here next to me. And he said something so beautiful just before we came on the air with you. He said, I may not be a missionary, but I might be able to do mission work.
Mm.
And people ask, how can we can't go over there, but how can we do it? How can we support them? And we invite people to be a part, be a missionary, be part of this mission by going and visiting our website, riseandshinebreakfast.org. And there you can access all kinds of beautiful information about the school, about the mission, as well as access videos from our breakfast with Dr. Edu speaking and both of the students.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'll tell just a little
Please.
Story. When I was over there, there was a father that came up to me just before we were leaving for the day, and he had tears in his eyes, and he had walked for 2 days to come and visit his son.
Mm.
And he had to come to visit his son there partly to pay for the school for his tuition. Even if they get a scholarship, the parents still have to pay part because everybody has is a partner in their children's education. So, so he looked at me and he had tears in his eyes and he said, so this really moved me and has animated me to do a lot. And he said, do whatever you can to help these children and my son, because I don't want them to have to work as hard as I have had.
Mm.
He was a cocoa farmer, and they have to work incredibly hard for one bag of cocoa.
Mm.
And they get very few cents for that cocoa. And he would have to make... It would be almost impossible for him to make enough money to pay for a full year of education. So without our support, it would be impossible for his son to go to school there.
Yeah.
And it really spoke to the need and his sincerity there and how far he's willing to go and wants to go every day for his son to raise the dignity of him. And then there was one more, as we were departing on the very last day, this little girl came up people were saying goodbye and she said, thank you for coming. And I said, well, thank you for your hospitality and having me here and everything and having us here. And she said, no, thank you for coming so far, and taking your time because it shows how much we mean to you and the dignity that we have.
Wow.
That you would come this far. So for us, you know, it's hopping on a plane.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is a big deal to get there. You know, it's 14 hours or whatever, and it's a lot of money. But for them, it's a world away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the way on the other side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impossible gap.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the dignity that I think they've felt,
mm-hmm.
that they've been knocked down, this has helped to bring that back up.
That's such a gift. And again, I was speaking again with our previous guests about one of the things I love about it is it's drawing people into that closer union, closer unity with one
yes.
another. Those who are, like you said, Father, a world away.
Yes.
But yet it brings it so close. And mm-hmm. we recognize the common humanity, the common human dignity, the common being made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. Okay, so just wondering, curious, I'm not asking you to give away anything here or anything like that, but I'm just wondering if there's any hopes, dreams for the future of Our Lady of Grace High School there in Ghana. Would there be a hope that, obviously, that it would continue, but any thoughts of where it might go from here?
Yeah, some of the vision that we have a university there in Accra, which is the capital,
mm-hmm.
and there's a major university there called Asheshi University, and we see a great partnership with them, an opportunity for partnership for their graduates to come and teach and become mentors for our students,
mm-hmm.
Interns, things like that, and then for our students to go to Asheshi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private university, but it's a world-class university,
mm-hmm.
and we met with the founder of their university, and they he sees that synergy as well. And so there's a lot of advancement there, I think, that can be done in the very near future. We just had our second graduating class this year.
Wow.
So we're still, you know, breaking ground.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And moving forward. But for having our second graduating class, we are light years ahead of where many places are, even in the United States, but certainly over there, we're, mm-hmm. you know, light years ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Allison, I know you were involved with the Rise and Shine breakfast this year pretty heavily. Are you going to do another one of those sometime?
We hope to. We're talking about next fall
okay.
and the dates and the guests. And we were at full capacity
yeah.
this year.
Wow.
So we had our event. We had over 240 people, raised over $210,000.
wow, thanks be to God.
And yes. received just phenomenal feedback from people that they loved it and they wanted to come again next year and bring more people. So we need to find new space.
That's nothing but a good thing as far as I can tell.
It's a beautiful Amen. Thing. It's a blessed thing.
Wow, wow. And the website, again, if people want to go back and see some of the highlights from this year and find out more about how they can get involved.
RiseAndShineBreakfast.org.
Wow. RiseAndShineBreakfast.org. Wow.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm moved by both your story, the story that we heard from Deb and Wayne before. Just, Father, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're always working, right? You've got the collar on, so you're working, right?
Prayer's not work. It's a work of God.
Very good. But actually, even before you pray, which I will have you do, but I'm also wondering if you can tie in, I started talking about the humility of Our Lady herself, especially on this centennial of Our Lady of Fatima. Just a reflection on how her humility and in some of the humble circumstances that you've been able to witness there firsthand in Ghana, about any thoughts that come to mind specifically about how we might incorporate that own humility into our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Our Lady always put herself in the moment and always put herself in our Lord's hands and said yes to our Lord. And so whenever our Lord asks something of Our Lady, she said yes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she took pause there for a moment at the very beginning
mm-hmm.
and said, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give me some more information. Mm-hmm. She said yes, of course. And so This is something that I saw so available in the people over there as well, that they said yes, and their hospitality is something that shines through. It's something I learned so much from the people in Ghana, mm-hmm. that they have very little, but they'll give you the shirt off their back. They'll give you everything they have. They want you to feel welcome. They want you to have everything. And so this is something that we can learn in our own humility and in our own movement forward, that we need not look at the anxiety of the future, the regret of the past, but stay in the present mm-hmm. time and say yes to what the Lord calls us to in the present.
Beautiful, yep. Beautiful. All right, Father, so now I'll ask you, would you say a prayer for us as well?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we ask you to anoint our day here on this, the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, that we would be greatly blessed through Our Lady, and that we would be able to continue to say yes to what it is that you call us to, whether it be here locally or wherever in the world. We ask this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Father Neil Baker, Allison James, thank you so much for joining us on the program this
Absolutely.
Morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so we are actually joined by a surprise guest. Welcome always to the show, our own shepherd, our chief shepherd, Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Your Excellency, welcome to the program yet again this morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program, and happy centennial to you.
Yes, what a great opportunity for a joyful celebration.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're going to be celebrating the centennial, particularly at the Cathedral of St. Paul this evening. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, there are actually going to be two events, and there might be people that stay for both. The first is at the celebration of Mass at 5:15, as is normally scheduled at the Cathedral, and we're hoping to have a good crowd there, a good congregation, a number of priests who will be there. We'll have the opportunity for those who have been preparing for a Marian consecration using Father Gately's book to make their act of consecration at that time. We're also going to then be preparing for a beautiful procession that's actually held every year in October, a rosary procession. But this year it takes on added meaning because of it falling exactly on the 100th anniversary of the apparition, last of the apparitions at Fatima. And so we're expecting even more people than we normally have. Once again, after the procession begins at the Capitol and winds its way up to the Cathedral, we pray the rosary as we walk. We'll have the opportunity at the Cathedral to have some Eucharistic adoration, benediction, but also once again, for those who are just joining us at that time, they'll have the opportunity to pray the act of consecration if they've been preparing for that. And then we're also going to be praying a prayer of consecration for the Archdiocese. We're saying it's a jubilee consecration on this 100th anniversary, where we really commit the Archdiocese, every aspect of our life together, to Our Lady, and trust that she's going to bring our needs, bring our intentions to the throne of her Son. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us a little bit more about that, if you would, Archbishop, about specifically what's significant about what can we expect from Our Lady. Why do you decide to consecrate our Archdiocese to Our Lady and her care?
Yes, a couple of things. First of all, this is many dioceses will be doing this today. I think the different points in history where bishops have consecrated their diocese, or pastors have consecrated their parish, or the bishops of a country have consecrated their nation to Our Lady. And it certainly is a wonderful reminder for us of Mary's role in the church. You know, the Second Vatican Council teaches us that she's the model of the church, but she's such a wonderful maternal influence in our lives, and certainly at this point in the juncture, this point in history in our archdiocese, we would need that maternal care from Mary, and we're really trusting that as we turn everything over to her, that she will help us to really sort through our priorities, which will give us focus. That she'll be always, Mary has such a great desire to bring people to Jesus, and that's what she's going to be doing for us this evening and as we move forward. And just that opportunity, I think, to hold Mary up as a model for us as we consider her yes, as we consider her trust, really gives us then that opportunity to entrust everything that we have to Jesus through Mary. And that's just such, I think, a beautiful part of our spirituality.
Right.
I think that we can, there's the beautiful scene in the Gospels where from the cross, Jesus gives Mary to John and really to the church. And just we have to trust that Mary wants to be in our home as well, that Jesus wants Mary to be in our home. He wants her to be our mother as well. And this is one of those opportunities when we, in a very public way, get to affirm that and to really call upon her intercession.
Indeed. May it be so. So the event, the Mass tonight at 5:15 at the Cathedral of St. Paul with His Excellency Archbishop Bernard Hebda, is followed by a gathering at the Capitol grounds at 6:30 and a rosary procession at 7 back to the Cathedral. Archbishop, look forward to it. And I'm just wondering, before we let you go, if you can give us your blessing, please.
Yes. And this 100th anniversary of the apparition at Fatima, we ask your very special blessings, O Lord, on, most especially on this church in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. We ask that you might conform us to your Son, and that in all things we might imitate Mary in her great yes, her willingness to be of service. We ask you to strengthen us, to open our hearts to the graces you desire to pour into our hearts this day, so that in all things we might give you glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Archbishop. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We are going to take our final break, and when we come back, we've got a lot of things going on in and around this archdiocese for you to get involved, so stay with us. Rediscover.
This is Dale Alquist. Let's talk about high school. If you're a student attending high school today, you might be frustrated because the package has not been delivered. There's a lot of electronic distraction, but little eternal satisfaction. If you're Catholic, it's worse. Your faith is not welcome in the classroom or in the halls. But I'm not here to complain. I'm here to offer some help and some hope. At Chesterton Academy, we believe that high school is supposed to be one of life's greatest and most joyful adventures. The thrill of discovering the truth about everything, from the sciences to the arts to the unlocking of language. The great clarity that comes from complete thinking. Do you want a spectacular high school education? Come to Chesterton Academy. You will find holiness and happiness, from the serene morning mass to the laughter in the hallways. Join us for an open house at the St. Paul campus on Tuesday, October 17th. Find out how great high school can be. ChestertonAcademy.org.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. And Paul, we got a list and a half.
A ton. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Healthcare workers, spouses, families, you are all invited to the annual White Mass for Healthcare Workers Tuesday, October 17th, 7 p.m. at the Cathedral. Reception and presentation immediately following in Hayden Hall with Dr. Dan Huskin speaking on practicing inpatient child psychiatry in a post-Christian age. Mass is sponsored by St. Paul Minneapolis Guild of the Catholic Medical Association and Curatio, in cooperation with the Archdiocese for Marriage, Family, and Life. For more information, visit the events page of archspm.org or contact Sonia at flomos@archspm.org.
Saturday, October 21st, Mary's Meals invites you to join them at the Cathedral at 6:30 for a lasagna dinner fundraiser hosted by the Cathedral of St. Paul, Knights of Columbus, and Ladies Auxiliary Council. Mary's Meals, as you heard, is an international organization providing one meal per day in a child's place of education for over 1.2 million children in over 14 countries worldwide. Find out more? Go to www.kfc14752cathedral.org or call Deborah Wayne Waldera for more information, 651-772-6935.
St. Stephen's of Anoka invites you to an evening of all ages to enjoy great music by Danielle Rose, who's
I
a music
love Danielle.
Yeah, she's great. Who invites others to experience the Eucharistic love of Jesus and Mary through song. There'll also be a special appearance by local Mexican folkloric dancers. Easy for me to say, folkloric. Okay. The evening will provide fellowship and the opportunity to purchase unique handcrafted items made by the Venezuelan people. All proceeds will go to help support the needs of the Latino community of St. Stephen's Catholic Church of Anoka and the Venezuelan mission of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. It'll take place on Saturday, November 4th, 6:30 to 9:30. Please contact St. Stephen's at 763-421-2471.
And what's up next week?
Next week, I am out.
You're out?
Yeah, yeah. Tiso Rosales is going to come in. He's going to host the show for us. We are going to hear a bit of follow-up from the first ever Catholic Schools Center of Excellence Summit on Call to Excellence. We'll also be joined by Monsignor Callahan and Monsignor Richter, the outgoing and incoming rector of the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, respectively. So I think it's going to be a great show, and TSOC will lead it well. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.